right, good day and welcome in Better's Last Stand show number 77, coming to you from the Pine Room Studios, downtown Wheeling. It's Mountain East Tournament Week, so things are hot and heavy downtown. We have basketball going on right now. We had a game in the books already, an overtime victory for Notre Dame over the defending champions, Glenville, who are out now. Kim Stevens down at Marshall now, and Glenville feeling the ill effects of that move. The Stoller sisters are not able to equal the magic that Kim Stevens brought to Glenville, and that's a it's a surprising but not super surprising. We had Glenville minus 6.5 in the game. Glenville actually has a couple free throws late to cover the spread. They miss them. It's a five-point game. Notre Dame scores twice in the last minute to tie the game, force OT, and win it in overtime. So exciting stuff there. West Liberty trails in the second women's game of the day, 56-46. And boy, I got to say, West Liberty, my goodness, they're not very good. They've gotten worse. I don't know what's up with them, but they are really bad. Just seems like they're completely not prepared for these games. And Brett Vincent doing a good job for West Virginia Wesleyan. So it looks like that could be another upset. We could have two. West Liberty, a small favorite. We had them 2.5. So if you're interested in checking out Mountain East tournament action, get on over to Wheeling Island Hotel Casino Racetrack Sportsbook. We got the lines for all the games, outrights, futures, whatever you want to call them, to win the tournament. Got the men's and the women's games all up over there. So stop on over, give us a little attention, and we'll be happy to send you on your way over to the games and with a couple of wagering tickets so you can cheer on your favorite team or just a team that you think is going to win you a bet. So stop on over, check it out. Only sportsbook in the world. Well, actually, no, not in the world. Probably a couple in Europe that have it, but nobody in the United States, to my knowledge, has Mountain East College basketball, but we do. So stop on over. If you're interested in the Mountain East tournament, come on by and make a few wagers. We had not a great week last week. We always tell you when we do good, but we tell you when we do bad too. So I wouldn't say it was terrible, but it wasn't good. We were up over 170 units, or almost 170 units over the last 3 weeks. I was up 2 units last week, plus 230. Not counting the golf. Golf, 4 of 9, made the cut. Shane Lowry right around a chance to win the tournament. Sam Ryder was the guy that really, really, really was looking like he was going to look like he might have had a chance to win. At one point, he tied for the lead on Saturday, and he absolutely fell apart on the back nine and never recovered. And he made the cut, but he did not stick in the top 10, top 5 at monstrous prices. So if we would have got Sam Ryder home, it would have been a little bit different of a story. Shane Lowry, too, who had plenty of chances, kind of fizzled out a little late on Saturday, and then the rain and weather on Sunday forcing a Monday finish, and he lost all his momentum, so he was pretty much irrelevant. Sam and I both had Max Verstappen in F1. Other than that, we did not do very good in F1. Good thing it's only week one. NASCAR, also some bad luck there. I had a couple of guys that were, Reddick was in there in the mix, who else did I? I had one other one. You can go back and check them out, BLS_PRP. Had Tyler Reddick in the top 10, and I had one other guy that finished okay. So I had a couple of winners in NASCAR, but nothing that was going to turn us a profit. 4-5-1 in college hoops, 2-1 in the NHL, 3-3 in the EPL. So nothing to write home about by any means, but hey, we'll try to bounce back this week and see what we can do. College basketball, as I said, heating up now. You got conference tournament action going on right now. Some of the smaller college leagues, D1 leagues, in action right now. If it's at a neutral site or there, some of them on campus sites. Mountain East tournament, of course, over at West Bank Arena here in Wheeling. Tell you, college basketball is really kind of getting to the point where I don't know how you pick these games. I mean, you're going to have good opinions. You can still plan back off some of the scenarios we've talked about in the recent weeks where you play off of teams off of big wins or a bad loss and they're bouncing back, that kind of stuff. That stuff is still pretty effective. But as far as picking who's going to be able to advance in these tournaments and who's going to be able to finish out games and things like that, when there's not a scenario like that where you're looking at a bounce back spot or a look ahead spot or anything like it, just a regular, no teams have a benefit in the spot or the travel or the days off, and man, just picking these games is really tricky. Last night you had Eastern Michigan, 21-point dog, pulled out a stunning road outright win over Akron. They were between 16 and 18 to 1 money line before the game. And they got the win 61-60. So that's just one of the games that goes that way. Purdue, Illinois had a seesaw game last night. Kind of a indicator what the Big Ten tournament may have to offer. Some of your teams are starting to kick it in gear a little bit. I think maybe UConn and some of these other teams probably were happy to just get a little loss out of the way, get them a little more refocused job. Marquette, another one of those as you get ready to go into Big East play, conference tournament play, that is. So you got a lot of things to look forward to here in the coming weeks. The small college tournaments, though, are kind of where you want to be looking for a little bit of value. So there was a couple of leagues right now that stood out. I'll have some picks on the bigger leagues, but a few of the leagues that I liked, some of the lower leagues. American East Conference Tournament, that is, I believe, will be starting it's probably going to start sometime. It concludes next week, but I think it might be starting up here this weekend. Small conference. Vermont, usually the best team in the league. Now, Vermont is not nearly as good as they have been this year. So I'm looking for UMass Lowell to possibly be another former Division II team. You're going to hear a lot of those here. You got Bryant in that league, former Division II team. But UMass Lowell, I think, is a little bit dangerous at plus 350. Vermont's minus 270. They still play this at campus sites. I think Vermont will have all the games, but Lowell can beat them, and they've proven that this year. That Lowell is very sneaky. They're good, and Vermont doesn't have the push over here. Normally, Vermont's minus $7 to win this tournament, but not this year. So take a little shot at UMass Lowell, or at least check them out, see what you think. Even New Hampshire down 25-1, like they've played them tough. Bryant is pretty good too, but I'm going to go with UMass Lowell there in the America East. Going on down to the Metro Atlantic. This league, if you follow the BLS underscore PRP Twitter page and you follow, you just know the picks or the things that I give out on there. I'm a big fan of the Metro Atlantic Conference. I think it's a really good league. I've liked this league for about 20 years. I think it's next to, Power 5 type leagues. It's a really, really good league. It's got a lot of parallels to the Mountain East, where it kind of gets overshadowed, but how good the basketball really is. So Marist, the team in there, around 5-1, I think an interesting look with them. They were a team that I was high on this year. Quinnipiac is the favorite, 3-1. I don't think they'll win it. I mean, Quinnipiac's had some really bad performances this year. Now, they've played a little bit better lately, but they went through a really bad lull. So this is going to be a tricky, tricky tournament. You can find, I think, some value here. I like Marist. But I wouldn't even count a team out like Mount St. Mary's or Niagara to make a run. Canisius, I was very high on the beginning of the year. They're 20-1. Mount St. Mary's and Niagara, 11-1. So those ones worth a look. But Marist is where I'm going to go in this one. I think that they have kind of what it takes to get it done. They cover spreads pretty well. They're pretty good in close games. So take a shot with Marist. That one in Atlantic City, I believe that'll be probably the finals for that one next week. And I'll talk more about these when we get into the bigger tournaments. Colonial Athletic Conference, formerly the Colonial. I think they call it the Coastal Athletic Conference. It's just ridiculous. Charleston, the favorite there, defending champs, made the tournament last year. They won the regular season. UNC Wilmington, pretty good opponent there. But I like Hofstra, 4-1. They got a good offense. All these teams can score it a little bit. I think this will be a very exciting tournament. You got Drexel, Delaware, Towson. Some pretty good teams there, but I'm going to go Hofstra 4-1 in that one. I think they can make a run. Horizon League, I like this league too. I was big on IP Fort Wayne at the beginning of the season. I'm not sure they can win this tournament, but 11-1, I might take a crack with them. And I think Wright State, who's the third choice behind Youngstown and Oakland, probably good enough on both sides of the ball to get enough stops to be able to win this tournament too. So I'll go with Wright State in the Horizon League. And then in the Southern Conference, another exciting up-tempo league. Samford, the favorite, plus 135, followed by Furman. But I like UNC Greensboro here, a plus 450. I think they're a dangerous team. I heard a couple other people tip them as well, so hopefully that's good luck for us. But we'll go with UNC Greensboro in that spot. The big conference tournaments start up next week. We'll have some insight and thoughts on those ones on the radio show, so be sure and tune in at on the watchdognetwork.com or just on your regular radio dial on the Watchdog Network 1600 in the Wheeling area. We have a show on there Monday, Tuesday, and Friday. If you're not familiar with it, 12 to 3 on Tuesday and Friday and 2 to 3 on Monday. Get a little bit of everything. We do a cornucopia of activities, sports, news, a little bit of everything. A lot of fun stuff too. So tune in And we'll I'm sure we'll talk some of the big conference tournaments there. Coach will have his opinions on those, some of the other guys as well. So we're getting close to March Madness officially. It is March. We got tournaments starting up now, and it's win or go home time. So exciting stuff there on the horizon. Again, you can follow all our picks, BLS_PRP. I'll have another week of picks and some other things that I like throughout the weekend basketball-wise. I may have some tournament plays, may have some final card weekend plays, which regular season concludes for many of the conferences this week. Obviously, pretty much anyone that's not still playing. Hockey-wise, you got the trade deadline happening like basically right now. You have some moves already. You had Vegas acquiring Anthony Mantha. You have Florida acquiring Vladimir Tarasenko. You have the Oilers acquiring Adam Henrique. I'm not sure any of those will make a huge difference. Jake Guentzel probably going to go here for the Penguins here in the next 24 hours, so keep an eye on that one. So I'm not going to give you any hockey plays out this week. Because of that, you're going to see some teams now start mailing it in. You're going to see some younger guys getting opportunities, start building for next year, and there's really just no benefit for them to continue to play the veterans. They're going to move guys there. You may see some teams just, you know, basically, for lack of a better term, designate for assignment or send to waivers, release the waivers, just because they're going to try to get other guys' looks. If they can't unload a guy, they may just say, you know what, we need to get some guys some reps up here and see how that can, you know, treat us going into the offseason. We're going to be facing, you know, whether it's a rebuild or it's a mini rebuild or whatever, we shall see. Penguins, they're clinging to life, but they really don't have much of a chance. They're just not that good, and it's okay. They're not always going to be good, but you gotta know when to, like the Gambler song, you gotta know when to fold them. You gotta know when to walk away. So, and honestly, in this case, they should run. But yeah, so we'll see next week. Probably give you some good because there are going to be a couple of teams here that I've kept an eye on. Obviously, I mentioned Detroit, who are very high on, Florida, St. Louis. I mean, they're still hanging around. They're playing pretty good hockey right now. I don't know if the Blues are going to move a guy like Pavel Buchnevich, but, I mean, people want him. But the Blues are hanging around for a potential playoff spot. Nashville's been playing pretty well lately. Vegas beat up, but they're still going to be formidable, especially if they get some guys back. So you had a lot of things to look at here in the next few weeks. What are the Kings going to do? Are the Oilers going to bring in any goaltending? Toronto can't win without goaltending. And right now, Florida, who just added Tarasenko. So there's another... You know, he's not as good as he was 5 years ago, but he's another weapon, another depth player, another guy that could get them points down the lineup. Florida continues to build their team to really, really look like they're going to be the team to beat. I mean, I've been touting them for a while. They're the best team that I've seen play this year. I've watched several of their games. I watched them again last night. They are really, really good. They can just beat anybody. They're that good. They beat the Devils. They beat the Rangers back-to-back nights. Doesn't matter. They can play up-tempo 2-1 games. They can play up-tempo 6-5 games or slow down, grind 2-1 games. It doesn't make a difference. They have everything you need to win, and they just add another piece, and they probably aren't done yet. So look out. I think Vancouver, Rutherford will probably still be busy. I think they need to get a little tougher. They need a couple of more grit guys in there, I think, that can put them over the top, and then they become a little more dangerous. Edmonton, I just don't think they're tough enough to win in the playoffs, but we'll see. In their goaltending, a huge factor. Toronto, absolutely zero chance of winning anything. They're just not going to do it. Winnipeg, who I was starting to get down on a little bit, they've bounced back and had some nice comebacks, but their scoring still lacks consistency. So I'll give you a little bit better of a rundown next week. I think the Eastern Conference right now to me is Florida, and then a very distant second to the Rangers probably. And then you're looking at teams like Detroit, in my mind, that are about the next best level, because you've had a lot of underachieving teams. Although I will say the Islanders have picked it up quite a bit now since Patrick Waugh, not originally when he came. About 3 or 4 games in, they were looking terrible. I think they've settled down a little bit under him, and they've played a lot better. So I watched them play the other night. They definitely look a little bit more crisp and a little bit more confident, so I wouldn't quite count the Islanders out yet. Caps faltering. They're giving up a ton of goals. Penguins, just they're not going to beat anybody good. So we shall see. I'll give you a little bit more insight and get some final Stanley Cup picks for next week's show. Period data, though. Ottawa, these are goals, yes, in the first 10. Ottawa, 43-16. Tampa, 43-20. Seattle, 41-21. Washington, in the last 10, 9-1. Anaheim, Ottawa, Arizona, all 8-2. Goal, yes, in the first 10 minutes of the game. First period overs. Ottawa 40-19 on the year. Colorado 40-23. Vancouver 40-24. These second period and third period numbers are just getting crazy. Second period overs, Ottawa 49-10. Toronto 49-12, Dallas 49-15. The last 10, Toronto, Dallas, New Jersey, Montreal, and Anaheim, 9-1 second period overs. I mean, it's 90%. And now you're getting in where these teams have played 60 games. So these are ones you're going to definitely want to get on. Third period overs, Minnesota 46-16, Tampa 46-17, Montreal 45-17. And then the last 10, Toronto, the Leafs, 10-0 to the over in the third period. Florida, Vegas, Nashville, all 9-1. Those are incredibly impressive numbers. So take a look at those second period, third period overs. They're really, really good. They're being really good to people right now. So jump on them now. Don't be going against the trend. Stay on them because these trains, they're running hot. They're running hard and fast. So stick with it. Grind it out. You got about, we got about 20 games left or so. 20 in it, 20 some teams have left. So getting down to the end, trade deadline wrapping up right now, so we'll have a comprehensive report on that one. It's definitely a fun time of year. You start to make the push towards the NHL playoffs. You got the March Madness, you got all the basketball going on right now. You got baseball opening day right around the corner. I'm going to talk a little bit later in the show with Sam about the unfortunate news, as we already predicted here on the show, and basically any show anywhere that tells the truth. The Skeens would start in the minor leagues, and he will. So him and Henry Davis, the number one picks, will spend at the beginning of the season in the minors. What a surprise. Pirates continue to run the Ponzi scheme, and people fall for it. So hopefully you're not falling for it. Hopefully you're smart enough to see through it and, you know, take a peek, go out, watch a game here and there. But I wouldn't tie up a lot of money in going and investigating into Pirate tickets, because they're just stealing your money. They don't want to win. They don't care about winning. We're going to take a break here. Better's Last Stand. Come back, talk some soccer, talk a little golf, Aussie rules football. Really excited about that kicking off tonight. And then the third segment, it's all racing. NASCAR at Phoenix. We have the Saudi Grand Prix, and IndyCar is back with their season opener down in St. Petersburg, Florida. So plenty to come here on Better's Last Stand. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back momentarily.
Reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only. All wagering activities should only be conducted by those 21 years of age or older and within the confines of federal, state, and local law. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, contact 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. All right, men, load the cannons and hold the line. You're listening to Better's Last Stand.
All right, welcome back in. Better's Last Stand show number 77, coming to you from the Pine Room Studios, downtown Wheeling. Let's first thank our sponsors, IC Cab. 304-232-1313, or download the IC Cab app today. IC Cab, always working. Zambito Flooring America, we have it all. Four Seasons Simulated Golf and Bar. We're going to head up there and see Ricky here in a few weeks and hit some balls in the simulator. So we appreciate him supporting the various Pine Room platforms, Course Generations, and Figuretti's, who sponsored Lunch Madness. If you're not familiar with Lunch Madness, you want to check that out. On the radio, Watchdog each Monday, Tuesday, and Monday, Tuesday, and Friday, that would be. We used to be Thursday. Not anymore. Monday, Tuesday, Friday from 2 to 3 Monday, 12 to 3 on Tuesday and Friday. You'll get all the updates on the Lunch Madness. We're down to the egg roll weight, which has been a really exciting contest for us. And you'll get a little bit of everything else that we do Pine Room related. So we appreciate the sponsors. Gumby's, of course. Our friends at the Watchdog, of course. Our friends at Jill's Gentleman's Club, we appreciate everything that they've done for us, and just all the other various people that have got on board with us throughout the times. Waterfront Hall, we had our Nailers watch party last week, Friday night. That didn't go as planned as far as the game. The Nailers get beat 2-1 in a tight one. They'll be on the road this weekend at Fort Wayne as the Mountaineers tournament in town at West Banco Arena. Talk plenty more Nailers on Friday's show on the Watchdog. All right, getting back into the sports betting aspect of things. A couple of bad beats from the weekend. Michigan, Ohio State, if you had this one Sunday afternoon. The game under 144.5 goes nearly 3 minutes without a basket. They brought the backups in. This game was way out. I mean, there was total garbage on the floor as far as players. And you think you're gonna squeak it out. You're getting these terribly missed shots. These guys can't play at all. And then this dude named Cooper Smith buries like a 40-foot three-pointer as time expires to put the game over by a half. It finishes 84-61 Ohio State. Coach had the over in the game, so he was very, very happy. It looked like a very improbable cover there, or, you know, put the game over the total. So coach gets it done. For any of you that had the under in the game, the 144.5, you had to be pretty, pretty devastated for that one. It wasn't like it was some one of their good players that made the shot in the game that mattered. No, this was a complete blowout, and you had 10 guys that never played in the game, and a guy hits a 40-footer to beat you. Celtics and Cavs last night. Celtics laying 8.5 in the game. Cavs trailed by as many as 22 in the fourth quarter and were as high as 40-1 in play. But the Cavs come all the way back. They win the game 105-104, snapping the Celtics' 11-game winning streak. Craziness. Follow up on a story we talked about last week, the Iowa State betting scandal. Sounded like they maybe got some, they kind of violated the rights of these guys through some illegal search and seizures. Sure appears that way. The judge looks like he's going to throw the case out, and all charges against those athletes will be dropped, citing they got the evidence in improper way, and they did not go about it through the right channels. Obviously, not a lawyer by any means, but probably didn't get some kind of warrant or something to be able to search the databases that they went into to get the information out of there. So it looks like they're getting it thrown out. That doesn't mean that the kids won't be banned from betting in the state of Iowa, but they're not going to face any criminal charges. And, you know, that's a poor job by the state investigators for screwing that up. But, you know, good for those kids. Vegas firm U.S. Integrity, speaking of integrity, announces a new deal with La Liga, which is a Spanish soccer league, Barcelona, Real Madrid, all those great teams. That includes real-time betting, integrity alerts, and access to technology used to identify problem bettors. So always looking out for people trying to take advantage, take shots against the industry, looking for mistakes, people that are trying to drive markets up in one area to bet them down in another. There's a lot of market manipulation out there. There's a lot of syndicates coming on board here to try to do this. And the more regulation you have, the better chances you'll have this kind of stuff getting caught. So Vegas, the U.S. Integrity is the firm. What's it called? U.S. Integrity. They do a great job trying to defend people from, you know, bad people acting in poor faith. Dodgers are down at plus 320, as low as plus 320 already to win the World Series, taking tons of action. Obviously, they have an all-star team of hitters. I don't know if their pitching will be good enough, but we'll see. They've struggled to get through, though, early in the playoffs with those the times where they got the not a bye week, but you got days off. You got that extra couple days off where the wild card teams aren't playing. So it's tricky. So I don't know how they're going to do about it. Braves, they got the Braves last year, got the Dodgers last year, and it's got them the year before that as well. So interesting stuff. You want to dump all that money in a plus $3 favorite. Not going to interest me in that one. The NBA unders continue 68-35-1 since the All-Star break. Can't really explain that one. Caitlin Clark breaks Pete Maravich's record, which really isn't his record. His record is his record. It's men's basketball. Hers is in girls, and both feats are, you know, should be commended, and she's great. She's awesome. She's done a lot for the game. Women's tournament for the Big Ten sold out for the first time ever. Thanks to her, she'll be entering the WNBA draft next, well, actually, not even next year, this summer. So I imagine the Indiana Fever, who look to have the first pick, doubt they're trading it. That's probably going to be a pretty good one there, seeing Indiana's not that far from Iowa. I think that would be a really, really good home run for them and put the Fever back on the map. And the Fever used to be pretty good when they had Tamika Catchings. They were a very good playoff team every single year. All right, soccer time. We've got Champions League wrapping up right now. We got Manchester City right now, 3-1 in this match. They lead Copenhagen. And then you got a match that really surprised me here. I thought that Real Madrid would cruise in this match, and I was wrong. And it's 1-1 right now against Leipzig, and Leipzig pushing hard to try to tie this at 2 to get it to go to extra time. So Yeah, these are tough, but you know, we've given you out a few winners over the past couple of weeks in the Champions League. Some teams that were in tough spots that, you know, didn't get the job done because they were looking to a big domestic game. Manchester City, I thought this game might be a little bit lower scoring, but doesn't really matter. They put backups out there; they're just as good. They have a big game against Liverpool on the weekend. I like that game under the total in the EPL. This weekend, and a couple other EPL games. I like Wolves over Fulham at +150. Wolves coming off a bad showing against Newcastle last week. I think they'll pick it up this week, bounce back. And I like Aston Villa and Spurs, both teams to score. And I'll post all these on our Twitter page, X page, BLS_PRP, or at the Pine Room Studios. You can find all of our picks. Champions League next week, Arsenal, who trails Porto now 1-0 in aggregate. But Arsenal kicked it into gear last week. They bounced back with a thrashing on Monday in Premier League play. I think that they will be ready to go in this game. This is a really big match for them. And they'll be rocking in London. And I think Arsenal will probably win this game by more than a goal and a half. So I'm going to go Arsenal minus a goal and a half. Probably lean to the over, the 2.5 as well, as they take on Porto in the second leg on, I believe, Tuesday. And then Barcelona-Napoli. 1-1 in the first leg. Barca's at home, -125. I think this will be a very, very nip and tuck game. Napoli will be playing probably to get it into extra time and give themselves a shot, even in penalty kicks. So I think this will be very, very tightly contested. I lean Barcelona -125, and I like under the 3 in that match. So those are two Champions League matchups that I like next week. I'm not sure about Wednesday's action yet. I got to see a couple of things on that. So, I will put any of my plays up on BLS_PRP. Let's talk a little bit of golf as we head into the Arnold Palmer Invitation. We've had a couple of really bad tournaments in a row, but we get a little bit better field here. Some of the bigger guns definitely coming out for this one. Rory McIlroy, Scottie Scheffler, and so forth. Top plays for me, guys I like the best. Again, all these posted BLS_PRP. This tournament will be held at Bay Hill, of course, in Orlando, Florida, the Arnold Palmer Invitational. Three top guys I have on my list right now. Tommy Fleetwood, he's around 25-1. I like his game for this setup here, this course setup. I like Will Zalatoris, who we gave out a few weeks ago. His game is really starting to come in to form after coming back from injury, so I think he'll be very formidable here. And then Colin Morikawa, another guy who's putting, starting to go towards, you know, starting to roll some in the 8-12 foot range, which seems to always give him trouble. But I think Morikawa is trending in the right direction. So Zalatoris, Fleetwood, and Morikawa are my top plays. Also, like on the next tier down, like Corey Connors, Xander Schauffele, who obviously should be in with the top contenders, but he doesn't win a lot. So I think him as like a top 5, top 10 is a great bet. He's like 15-1. So, I mean, I like him, but I don't love him because he just doesn't seem to finish out tournaments quite as often. So Corey Connors, Xander Schauffele, Ludvig Åberg. This guy is really good. He's going to continue to get better. He's going to be like the next Victor Hovland, where he's getting to win the FedEx Cup and winning majors and contending for majors. This guy's really, really good. So his name's spelled like Åberg, like AABERG, Ludvig Åberg. And he is good, and he is about 18-1. So I think he's going to have a shot here. Cameron Young at around 25-1. Steven Yeager, Tom Hoge, can find those guys around 75-80-1. I think both of them playing pretty well so far this spring. And then Tom Kim at 47-1. And if you're not familiar with Tom Kim, his name really is Joo Hung Kim. So if you're looking for that on there and you don't see Tom, look for J.H. Kim. He is around 50-1 or so there at the Arnold Palmer Invitational. So again, that is Fleetwood, Zalatoris, Morikawa, my top plays. Connors, Schauffele, Yeager, Hoge, Åberg, Cameron Young, and Tom Kim will also be ones that I'm going with this week at Bay Hill. Another thing that I'm very excited about, as the Australian rules football begins tonight, or actually last night if you're listening to the show. So really, really excited about this. It's one of my favorite sports. It might actually be my favorite, but it's right up there with soccer and hockey and maybe what used to be baseball. But I'm excited about it. Season getting going here. If you're not familiar with it, you can listen to some of the things I talked about on the shows last year. If you have any other questions, feel free to email us, Twitter messages at the Pine Room Podcast. BLS underscore PRP, whatever you want to do there. So this year, it's pretty interesting. I think it's really tough to repeat in this league. And if you're looking for future bets, I would stay away from Collingwood and you know who won it last year. I'm not sure they're going to be able to repeat. They're very good, but it's really tough. It just if the injuries don't break your way and things don't go your way, it's just hard to do it back to back years. And you saw that just in recent seasons, teams can't repeat. Geelong Cats, they were just riddled with injuries last year, riddled with close defeats, and they just never really got into a good flow. So they were poor. They were very, very poor last year. I expect them to bounce back heavily, which I'll talk about momentarily. But right now, the Brisbane Lions are the team that most people are tipping to win this thing. They're around 5-1. Collingwood, who won it last year, at 4-1. They're the two betting favorites. I think Brisbane's good. Brisbane got a lot better in the ruck last year, where it's like the face-off circle, if you're talking about hockey or jump balls in basketball. And, you know, they have these after every single score, so you know, it's important. And a lot of times you can give up terrible transition opportunities if you're not able to secure balls out of the center circle. So off the bounce, Brisbane got better. So I do think they improved, but I didn't think their offense was as good. Their offense had been very, very good the last few years, and they've had no defense and no ability to hold possession. So I think they put together a really good run last year. I thought maybe they were going to pull it out as they made it to the semifinals, I believe. And, you know, they gave a good effort. I'm just not sure they're tough enough to do it. And I don't love the price at 5-1. So I'm going to pass on them and pass on Collingwood. While they're both being in the mix for the top five, probably, I'm going to, you know, look elsewhere for the futures. Greater Western Sydney, they're perceived to have had the best off season of any team here. So they're the third choice right now at 6-1. They were a fringe finals team last year, so a team that we played a lot of value on last year. So GWS Giants, we took them with plus the points quite a bit last year, and they really, really did well for us. Gold Coast, who we backed pretty heavily last year to finish in the top eight, they were terrible. They were 15th, and they appear to be in limbo once again this year. So can't go back with Gold Coast Suns here. I'm not going to be looking at them this year. I think they're kind of exactly where they were last year with a lot of pressure on them, and I don't expect them to handle that well. Team that I'm looking at that may surprise, the Adelaide Crows. I like them over 12.5 wins. They had 11 last year. They should be qualifying for the finals. They're 14-1 to win it all. I'm not sure they can do it, but they may be able to make the grand finals or at least the semifinals. So take a look at the Adelaide Crows. I think over 11 or over 12.5 wins is going to be a good bet for them. I think they'll win 13 or 14 for sure. I like Geelong, the Cats, to bounce back after a really bad season last year, as I mentioned. They had injuries. They had guys not playing very well. They just never really got in sync at all. It looked like they were going to try to come on late, but they would have very inconsistent performances where they would lose to far inferior teams. I think top four for them is almost a lock, in my opinion. Over 11.5 wins, I think that is a terrible number. I think they'll win at least 13. They had 10 last year. They're 18-1 to win it all, which I would never talk anybody off of. It's a very good number for a team this good. They have the best player in the league in Jeremy Cameron. Tom Hawkins is coming back for one more season, and I think that he's going to want to go out and win it. They won it last year. Last year he was so frustrated, almost retired. But I think you get him back, and you get Jeremy Cameron back, and I think this team is going to be. And they still got Patrick Dangerfield. So you know he's probably in the twilight of his career. I think maybe if they win it, him and Hawkins will probably retire. But I like Geelong. I think they'll bounce back. I definitely think they're a finals team. I think they'll probably make it to at least the semifinals. So back the Geelong Cats. Port Adelaide, who was on late last year, to me they were the best overall team, but they just ran out of steam late. I think top four for them is almost a lock, over 13.5 wins. I love that. They won 17 last year. Don't know if they'll win 17 because I think the top part of the league is a little better, so I think they'll win around 15 or so. They were 12-1 to win it all. They made some good offseason acquisitions. They still got Charlie Dixon, who's like the Travis Kelce of the AFL. Sam Palpepper, who's one of my favorite players. He's just an absolute lunatic out there. He's actually suspended 4 games for a vicious tackle he had on somebody in a preseason game. So he'll be out the first 4 games, but I don't think that's going to bother them too badly. Might actually save his body for later in the season. But I like the power to win over 13.5, and I think they're definitely a finals team and probably a top four. Sydney Swans, I think, should take the next step. They were 8th place last year. I think over 13.5 wins for them looks pretty good to me. They're 9-1 to win it all. That's a little too short for me. And then a couple of unders. West Coast, they're probably going to be the worst team again. They won 3 games last year. Their total was 4.5. I don't think they'll eclipse 4 here, so going to go West Coast under. And then Richmond. Richmond lost some guys to retirement. They were not very good last year to begin with. I think they're at a really tough spot. They're kind of in a full rebuild right now. So under 9.5 for the Richmond Tigers. I think they'll have a very, very down season. And they only won 10 games last year, and they're not nearly even as good as they were last year right now on paper. So my ladder predictions, I'm going to go with Port Adelaide on top for the regular season, Brisbane second, Geelong third, Collingwood fourth, GWS fifth, Sydney sixth, Adelaide 7, Melbourne 8, Western 9, Carlton 10, St. Kilda 11, Essendon 12, Gold Coast 13, Fremantle 14, North Melbourne 15, Richmond 16, Hawthorn 17, and West Coast 18. So I wonder what I could get if I parlayed all those together and hit it. That would be probably a retirement present. So anyway, Aussie Rules Football is back and better than ever. Looking forward to it. If you haven't checked it out, go on Fox, Fox Sports app. You can watch the games on FS1 and Fox Sports 2. They're on early in the morning, late at night, depending on what you're in the mood for. You can catch a game coming home from the bar on a Thursday or I guess sometimes on Thursday. But a Friday and a Saturday night, you can stop in around 10:30, 11 o'clock. You can catch a game then. You can also catch a game at 5 in the morning. So it's got a little bit of everything there. And very appealing stuff. Just so much better than the NFL. It's a great tempo. Not a lot of stoppages. Not a lot of officials' interference or anything along those lines. So we're excited to have it back. Baseball, we're going to talk with Sam about that. Going to give out some win totals here in the coming weeks. Gave out a few last week that I liked. Cardinals over, the Diamondbacks over, and I can't remember. There was one other one that I liked that was an under. Maybe that. Well, the Mets are an obvious one. But yeah, I'll have all those posted. Everything that I do for the MLB for the season, it's right around the corner. It's just a few weeks away. Spring training is in full swing. Pirates leading spring training in home runs, which who cares. They're going to probably just continue to take your money and pretend like they're going to win, and they're never really going to. So anyway, West Liberty is done in women's basketball. It's got beat by West Virginia Wesleyan, so we've had 2 underdogs already winning in the Mountain East Women's Tournament. So good stuff happening over at West Banker Arena. Again, check that out. Nailers again out of town this week. They'll be at Fort Wayne. We'll do Nailing It Down on the radio on Friday if you're interested in more Nailer talk. That's exciting. Playoff push for them begins now. Hopefully they can get some of their players back. And again, a couple other reminders going on. Pine Room stuff. We've got the May 4th Beer Mile down at Waterfront Fest. Check that out. Mark your calendars. You can sign up online. Just check out the Pine Room Studios. They'll have all the information so you can get to where you need to go to sign up for that. I'll stick in sponsors for that as well. It's a big event. It's going to be the kickoff to the Waterfront Fest down there. It's Kentucky Derby Day, so lots of good things going on right now across the landscape here. And as we continue to try and please the viewers at the Pine Room Studios, you can go on YouTube and all your podcasting platforms, listen to our 100th show, our regular podcast 100th show the other day. So we're on 77 here for Better's Last Stand. I don't know, Soup's probably got like 20 some Soup and Stuffs. And plenty of other spin-offs. The guys did the interviews down at the Tough Main Contest a few weeks ago. Those are up on the YouTube page as well, so you can see those. Some interesting characters there. Some from our group, and then some from the cast of fighters that were out and about that night. So thanks to Jerry Thomas for helping make that happen for the guys. Again, Nailers Watch Party last week was a good time down at Waterfront Hall. So we'll try to do another one of those again. And, yeah, it's almost playoff time for the Nailers. So we wish them the very best. And hopefully we'll get some playoff games over here at West Banker Arena here in the coming weeks. Let's see. Real Madrid and Leipzig tie 1-1. So that means Madrid are through. That means that Manchester City is through. So you have no surprises yet as City already through. You have Real Madrid through. And then yesterday you had Bayern Munich through, and who am I missing? There's another team, I don't know if I wrote it down. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. I think PSG, yeah, PSG. And so all big 4 clubs through to the next round of matches. You still got 4 more spots to be had during next week's game. So you got Tuesday and Wednesday action next week in UEFA Champions League. Again, check out the picks, BLS_PRP for those. If you have any other thoughts, observations, comments, contact the pioneeringpodcast.com or again, messages on X, Twitter, call us on the Watchdog Show. Let us know what you want to talk about, anything betting related, any types of strategies that you're wanting to talk about going into conference tournaments or March Madness or things like that. So we look forward to serving you, and you know, we appreciate all the feedback, everybody out there that supports the show and you know, is giving us some you know, good feedback, telling us that they're enjoying it and telling us that we're helping them pick winners, and that's what we're out there to do. So we'll keep it going here on Bettors Last Stand, show 77. We got plenty more to come. We're going to take a break now, and then we're going to be back with Sam the Man. He's going to talk racing. We got NASCAR, F1, and IndyCar on the docket this week. We're also going to hit on some Pirates and the Penguins and some other things going on in the sports world. It's Bettors Last Stand, show 77 from the Pine Room Studios. We'll be back in a moment.
Reminder, this show is for informational and entertainment purposes only. All wagering activities should only be conducted by those 21 years of age or older and within the confines of federal, state, and local law. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, contact 1-800-GAMBLER. That's 1-800-426-2537. All right, men, load the cannons and hold the line. You're listening to Bettors Last Stand.
All right, welcome back in Bettors Last Stand, show number 77. Sam the Man joins me now. We got tons of racing action to talk about. But first, we got to talk about some of the news in hand. Some of it's sad news. The Pirates. Skeens is starting in the minors. Henry Davis is starting in the minors. So the Ponzi scheme begins. Sam, I know you're not very happy about this. We knew it was coming, though. That's the thing. But it's still, when you hear it for sure, it just makes you just shake your head. And you don't know really know what to say other than, I don't know why I'm surprised, but it still pisses me off.
Yeah, Matt, listeners, it's great to be here. Good to talk to you. See you. I'd like to preface that by first saying I had a Pittsburgh Pirates hat on, and it was since replaced with the Detroit Pistons.
Well, that's fitting. Pistons that are fitting. Strong club.
Strong club, man. They're fighting hard. But, yeah, Matt, I don't like the news at all. I don't like it one bit. They're going to have a great AAA team, I'll tell you that.
Right. They're probably going to sell a lot of tickets down there, too.
Seriously, they would. I mean, they have – two of the best prospects in baseball that are going to be on the roster.
Two fucking 1-1 picks. Number one, first round, first pick. Two.
The thing that I don't understand with this is it seems very early to let this guy know.
Yeah, it
that
is.
That this is not going to be your home. I just thought, I find that so, so odd.
And when they said that Davis was going to start, that was too early also. And now what that tells you is there was no chance, no matter how good they performed at spring training, they were not ever going to be up with the big club. It's just not in the Pirates' nature to do that, to have their best resources up there. They don't care about winning. They pretend they do, but they really just care about selling tickets. And as we said, each time one of those guys is called up, it will be on a weekend. It will be heading into a homestand, and they will sell the place out, and that will be what they're trying to achieve.
Yeah, and it's like, you know, in my head, I think, like, you got to win all of these games.
Every
game
matter.
Is important. They do. And you could seriously have a game where you pitch Paul Skeens. He could pitch six innings, throwing 100-plus-mile-an-hour fastball. Seventh inning, Aroldis Chapman comes in. He's a lefty, right, throwing 100-mile-an-hour fastball. Like, the just keeping the hitters on their toes.
Absolutely.
Yep. Anything like that, man. It's just – it's down the drain next year. We'll worry about it next year.
Yeah, and it's – I mean, we talked about it before, and I'm not a proponent of it, but I could at least accept – that if Skeens was going to be up and they were going to have him on a very tight pitch count or window, inning, whatever you want to call it, I'm all right with that. But I know what they're trying to do. They're trying to make people think that they have his best interest in mind, and they're trying to, you know, limit the wear and tear on him and all this. But you can do that with the big club. You don't have to put him in the minors. And I think everything they do, I think, is just they do it under false pretenses, and they just try to fool people.
Yeah, honestly, I would even have him come in as a reliever.
Sure.
Yep. Dude, Paul, you're going to be our seventh inning, eighth inning guy.
Yep.
You're going to start those innings, and once you're comfortable, we'll get you more starts. But it's just, they treat these people like children.
They do. And then they continue to expect the fans to come out and you know, support them. So I don't know. It's really frustrating. And but again, why would we be surprised?
I don't know. It's like I've already been doing it to myself. I'm already disappointed. Yeah. There's not one regular season pitchman thrown.
You always just hold out hope that, like, well, maybe this time it won't be as predicted. It'll be they'll do something the right way. No, they don't. They let us down every time.
If Triolo is not a starter at one position in the infield, that's when I'm seriously red flagged. The guy can play anywhere.
Right. Well, yeah, he'll be the Sean Rodriguez for sure. Now he'll be in a different spot every day. That'll be good. And then you got to love what they're doing. Connor Joe playing center field for the first time in his life the other day. What the hell does this franchise continue to do this stupid stuff for?
I don't even know. I'm not really sure why they keep guys like him around. It reminds me of like a Michael Chavis, you know. Just, dude. First time in his career, Matt, you play center field in the big leagues.
Yeah. I mean, aren't those reps that you would want to be given to somebody who actually is going to be playing the position for you? I mean, you're really going to do – you saw what happened to Henry Davis when he had to go out and play right field, which is fucking difficult as hell in the major leagues. And they put him out there, and the guy struggles, and his confidence is down. I mean, they screw everything up.
It's like those spring trainings where you pay to go play.
You're right.
It's like, hey, fantasy Connor Joe, camp, center field, buddy.
Yeah, right.
Go ahead, man.
Yeah, I always wanted to pitch. Yeah, like, okay. Right. Yeah, and then you get some guy that throws left-handed having to play shortstop because he was his dream.
Right.
God. Now, don't be surprised if they don't try that out. We'll have a left-handed throwing catcher here for pretty soon like they have in softball. But
I know. And the thing is, Matt, I'm going so crazy with this. Our division is not great. We have some players, they could actually do something in the division.
They could.
I can't even believe saying that.
They could, because I didn't think the Cubs had a good offseason. I thought they were okay last year. I didn't think Milwaukee, they obviously didn't have a good offseason. I think they're in kind of a rebuild. St. Louis will bounce back, definitely. But then you're just left with the Reds, who you kind of went toe-to-toe with last year and are on equal ground with them. You're kind of on the same path. The difference is the Reds are trying to win. They're trying to improve their club. They're putting their good players up with the team right away. That's the difference in the two franchises.
Yeah. Yep.
We'll see, I guess. A few weeks away.
I know. Your breath. I'm such an idiot. I can't wait.
Yeah. And then on the other side of the spectrum, the Penguins are a few weeks away from hitting the golf course. Uninspired win last night against Columbus, which anybody can really beat them. Trade deadlines going on right now. Teams are starting to move guys right now. Obviously, we've talked about moving Gensel, moving Jari. What do you think they end up doing? And I mean, they really have to just sell off right now, don't they?
Yeah, it you have to. You can't let Gensel go for nothing. If he's not going to get traded, he must be re-signed.
Sure.
Those are the only options, a trade or a re-sign. Jari can go. Raquel can go. Honestly, I don't even think they listen to Sullivan anymore.
They don't.
In one ear, out the other.
It's a shame.
And he'll get fired, and he will be picked up in a heartbeat.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You saw what happened. Cassidy got fired from the Bruins, and then he goes right to the Golden Knights and then wins it all. Like it wins it all. Yeah. So, Mike Sullivan's not going to be unemployed for long, and it is kind of a disservice to him because it's not indicative of how good a coach he actually is. But you're right. Those fucking guys don't listen to him. They don't care anymore. They just do whatever they want.
Yeah, and like Malkin, he's done.
He's finished. Yeah, I mean, he got that last contract,
and he really is like, I'm done, man.
Oh yeah, he's been checked out for a while. He was probably hoping he would get traded at the deadline. He'd be loving to go to the Florida Panthers, and all them Russians love down there in South Florida.
He'd fit in there. I wouldn't be too mad if he went there.
I think the Panthers are really good. I think they're the team to beat. They just got Tarasenko now.
I know.
So, I mean, they just keep adding firepower, and they're already incredibly good because they can win. They can win those muck it up gritty styles, or they can outscore you 6-5. So, we'll talk more next week about some post-trade deadline thoughts about who maybe can make a Stanley Cup run, but I'm anxious to see what some of the teams will do. And like our LA Kings, I wonder if they can put together a couple pieces.
They need something, Matt. They're right in the middle there.
Yep. They definitely need a spark. They fired the coach. That sparked them for a little bit, but they still could use a little bit of an upgrade at a couple spots, I think, to help get them over the hump. So hockey playoffs right around the corner. NBA playoffs are fastly approaching. Lots to be looking forward to here in the springtime. Most notably, the racing circuits. We got them all going this week. Finally, we've been waiting for months for this to have all the three big race circuits on tap for a Sunday and Saturday. Actually, Saturday again, because it's weird that that freaking F1 race is late at night on Saturday again.
I know.
So, which is pretty odd. All right, let's start with NASCAR. Last week, it's pretty obvious to me, and I'm sure it was to you, for people who watch this every single week. It was pretty obvious very early in the race that Kyle Larson had an incredibly good car, and it was going to take a mechanical failure or an accident for him to lose that race.
Yeah, I thought the F1 race and the NASCAR race were very, very similar.
I did too, and not good.
One person got the lead, and dude, that was it. And even when Larson would go pit, or you know, he wouldn't have the lead, there was no doubt in my mind.
He was coming right back. Yep,
he was coming right back, man. I don't know what they did to that car. They were flying all day, Matt.
Yeah, and I like how afterwards I see some people on social media saying, you know, somehow the car passed inspection. Like, people were expecting there in to be cheating. But I thought it basically, we already knew this, but then Ross Chastain was the only guy who even tried to even give him anything on that last restart. I mean, he drove his fucking wheels off, and he could not get by him.
Dude, when he got that speeding penalty, I thought, man, there's no way Chastain's getting back up into
there. He had a great car, too.
He had a great car. You said it. He was the only other driver that could have done anything to mess up Kyle Larson winning that race.
Yeah, and I thought maybe he was going to get a little, you know, touchy there and hit him.
But... I was hoping.
I know, I was too. And I like Kyle Larson, but I didn't bet him at that short price we talked about last week. And we did have Chastain, so that would have been a nice one, but... Yeah, it was basically Larson and everybody else racing for second. Chastain gave him a hell of a run, but I mean, they just had nothing for that. And it reminds me of the times Jimmy Johnson, Jeff Gordon, something about Hendrick cars, even Chase Elliott to a degree. When those guys are William Byron, when those guys are locked in, and it is going to be a rough day for everybody else.
Yeah, and it makes me a little worried for these next upcoming races, because if they're going to get this momentum this early, man. I mean, they're good. I mean, his crew chief is no joke. I mean, Hendrick is no joke, obviously. No. But the way that they honestly dominated that race,
yeah,
I would definitely be having my eyes wide open, being like, we cannot have that happen again.
Team. Yes, exactly. Who else did you think run well? Obviously, Chastain had a good car. I thought Tyler Reddick, who was pretty consistent. Ryan Blaney, pretty consistent. He's kind of the thing that he prides himself on. And then a couple of young guys, Ty Gibbs and Gregson. How about that?
Dude, Gregson, I got a good feeling about this week with Gregson, too, to be honest. Okay. I really do. I couldn't believe Gibbs and Gregson at the end were in the top 10. Yeah, that's everything that you had imagined coming from Xfinity and how good they were there. So yes. I love seeing it.
Maybe they can develop the rivalry at this level. So I think it would be really cool. I thought Martin Truex was so-so. I mean, I didn't think he was bad. I didn't think he was great. Joey Logano, again, fascinating. Not as good a car as he had the previous 2 weeks, and he didn't really run that well. So I don't know what his deal is, but honestly, I can't really say that because his first 2 weeks, it was probably not even his fault because he had a good enough car to win. But it's just kind of a bad luck. Anybody stick out? I'll tell you, a guy stuck out to me. I'll be anxious to get your opinion. We talked about it last year with this guy. He made the playoffs. He's a great driver. But fucking Chris Bell is just, he has some kind of catastrophe all the time. He's got to get rid of that shit because it's going to start pissing people off because he is either in the top three contending for the win, or now it seems like even more often he's having a crash, a mechanical failure, a speeding penalty, a tire falling off, whatever. He's always got something going wrong.
Yeah, you know, I didn't think that he would be the one that sticks out to me in the JGR camp. Right. But he really is sticking out like a sore thumb. It's like, this guy just can't complete the race. He can't get the car there in one piece at the end. Yeah. And it's not the person I thought, oh, he's on the hot seat. But, you know, Joe Gibbs doesn't have time for this.
No, he doesn't. And then he's got, I mean, sure, there's other guys that would gladly take that seat. Kyle Busch, I thought he was going to have a little bit better of a day. Had a bad luck. I don't know. Just some of the silly mistakes these guys make still just – blows my mind, the penalties and the stupid.
Hey, at least you weren't Buescher's tire.
Now that was ridiculous. That, again, we talked about it so many times. What are they doing with the single lug nut? It's just not a safe feature. And you saw what happened. He hits that wall so hard, breaks the fucking wall. Then there's got to be a half an hour delay. I mean, that's not what you want. You just don't want to see that.
No, I mean, dude, they the clash they tried to do halftime with Machine Gun Kelly. Well, this one actually had a halftime with a fucking welder.
Right, right.
There's a guy welding the wall together.
Yes, yes. Actual welder on the track. That's never a good sign, but
no.
I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking with that single lug nut. I don't know what the thought process behind that was, and it was going to fail more often than not. When it fails miserably bad and dangerously. But whatever. These guys know better than we do. So on we go to Phoenix. William Byron and Ross Chastain were the winners here last year. So you start looking through guys who have had great cars here. William Byron, really good here. Ryan Blaney, really good here. Kyle Larson, of course, really good here. Anybody outside of those three that you think is a top contender here at Phoenix?
Tyler Reddick.
Okay, I like him.
I love his number. He's been strong. I think they're right there.
Yep.
You know, I keep looking at Blaney. I know his number's not that great, but
right.
I think he is really taking the next step.
In I do,
being
too.
The Penske driver.
Being, I agree.
This is my team. I run this team.
I agree, Sam. I see a difference in him, and it's all it takes is that confidence. I mean, the guy was so good in the playoffs last year, obviously won the title, and what we always had said is just like, you know, some weeks you just don't even notice him out there, but I'm noticing him now. Like, I'm noticing him the first 3 weeks. Like, this guy, and the thing about him is he has that versatility that he can win at all kinds of tracks. He's good at the intermediates. He's good at the super speedways. He's pretty good at the road courses, too, so he can do it everywhere, and that's what I'm really happy to see him take that step, and I agree. He's kind of unseating Logano as the top guy there.
Yeah, and it's like, I don't know. I think maybe the championship, he got it done. It's under his belt. He doesn't have to worry about, you know,
right,
a legacy or anything like that. It's like, dude, he really does have the talent, and he's really in a good team. But like you said, you think of somebody like Cindric, like you put him on a speedway, those are your chances with him. But with Blaney, you know, Swiss Army knife.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, he's got the game to do it everywhere. And, I mean, that's something that even Kyle Larson doesn't have, because we've still yet to see him really be able to be good on the super speedway. So, well, Phoenix is an interesting track. No Kevin Harvick anymore, which is interesting because he's always been very, very good here. All right, so Reddick is one of your top guys. Who else are you looking at?
I really like Gibbs, Gragson, top 10s.
Yep.
I think they're good. I think a Barry top 10, because Harvick's ran very well.
I was going to ask you about Josh Berry. Josh Berry ran well here when he was in place of Chase Elliott last year. So I think he's an incredibly interesting guy at a big price. He's almost 100-1 some places.
I know. I thought that price was absurd. And I think Chris Bell's number is stupid. As I see a plus 1,200.
Right.
That seems too just – I'm not biting anything on that.
Right. No, I got to stay away from him until he proves that he can actually finish a race. I mean, I can't tie up money in a guy like that who has the team, has the talent, has obviously all the equipment, but he just doesn't have the ability to not make the mistake in the key time. So – I'll be passing on Chris Bell until further notice. Joey Logano around 14. I don't know. He's another one that worries me a little bit. I think Chase Elliott's interesting here. I got, you know, around 18-1 or so, 17-1. Thought he could be worth a look. And then I want to get your thoughts on Chase Briscoe, who's won here before.
Yeah, I see it. I see plus 2,500. And Stuart Haas, they're sort of doing, Matt, a little bit of what RFK had going last year. Like, they're coming up from... They're in the top 10 now. Gragson did not finish the 20th or 30th, finishing the top 10. That's huge. Like you said, Barry ran well here in Elliott's car. Barry is good. I think Stuart Haas is slowly, Matt. They're slowly on an upward trajectory. I think that a Briscoe, it's possible. I really think it's possible.
It is. And I will say, I think last week showed me some signs of promise. While I didn't think the race overall was that great, because it was pretty obvious he had one dominant car. But I thought that I saw some good signs that some other guys, like deeper into the field guys, like I thought Todd Gilliland had a decent car again last week. I thought Austin Dillon finally showed some signs of life. So that's good for the whole racing colony, is for all these guys to be able to be out there having a shot. I mean, I think that's a really good thing. I wasn't so impressed, like I said, with Truax. But, you know, Truax, Hamlin, Kyle Busch, they're not going anywhere. Those guys, if they have a one-off, they'll be coming back with a vengeance. All right, so who's your pick at the Shriners Children's 500 at Phoenix? You have to take your number one choice overall. Who's it going to be?
Tyler Reddick.
Okay, Reddick it is. And I'm going to go with Chase Elliott. So that's my top one. So I don't know. We'll see what happens there. I'm excited to have it back. 3:30 start. And it's great to have a full day of racing because we got the Indy. What time is the Indy race? I don't even know. I think it's before.
See, I got it right here.
Because I think you can watch both of those races back to back, but I could be wrong about that. I forgot to look up the TV, so.
See. Yep, 12 o'clock.
12 o'clock, perfect. So you get a nice doubleheader. You get the overnight with the F1 guys, and then you get the afternoon with the Indy cars, and then that late afternoon and evening with NASCAR. So awesome stuff. All right, let's go to Saudi Arabia. Obviously, last week it was exactly what we predicted. A very bold prediction that Max Verstappen wins the Bahrain Grand Prix. He led every single lap. 57 of them, dominant performance, same old story. Sergio Perez finishes second. The Ferraris run 3-4. The Mercedes guys were okay. McLaren guys, I don't know. I think they were a little better than they had been, people had predicted, but they weren't really contenders. What were your thoughts in Bahrain?
I think, I can't even believe I'm saying this, I think Max has already secured the title.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to look forward to be honest.
No, I'm with you. It's like, a shame.
I can't see, I don't even know the name, the Red Bull Cash App, whatever
right.
the hell their name is.
Visa Cash App,
Visa
RB.
Visa Cash yeah. App, Red Bull.
Yeah.
I can't see them, Ricardo and Tsunoda, they're already having issues. The Alpine stunk.
Yeah, I know. I needed Ricardo and Yuki in the top 10, and you needed the Alpines.
Jeez, and they're terrible.
We weren't even really close. And then even Fernando Alonso, he backslid. I thought he wasn't very good. And then typical Lance Stroll.
Right where he always is.
Look, number 10 Stroll. It's fucking ridiculous how many times that guy finishes 10th or 11th. It's ridiculous.
We may not be giving him the credit he deserves, potentially the most consistent driver on the grid.
He might be. If you're just betting on a spot placement every week, the exact spot, he might be the easiest.
We would be rich.
Other than Max, if you could parlay those two every week, 1 and 10, I mean, that would be a hell of a parlay. Jeez. Yeah. So off the Jeddah we go, Saudi Arabia, defending champion, not Max Verstappen, surprisingly, but it was the other Red Bull, Sergio Perez in victory lane. Last year, Max runs second. Perez led 47 of the 50 laps in this race, and the other three were not led by Verstappen. It was Fernando Alonso. Early on in the race, he took the lead. I don't know. I would imagine Max, it's amazing, the tracks that he doesn't win at, like for the single given year, he usually responds and comes back and wins them the following year. So I don't see any reason that he won't win this one. What about you?
Yeah, Max is going to win. I think he started in 12th last year at this race.
Actually, 15th.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, 15th. So, how about that?
So I wasn't.
Just couldn't. If he started 12th, he would have won.
I know. He needed another lap. He needed one more lap. It's just like, it's going to be Red Bull. After Red Bull, Ferrari, Mercedes, all bets are off.
Yeah, and he literally did almost need one to two more laps. He ended up finishing 5 seconds behind Sergio Perez, but the third place finisher was almost 21 seconds behind.
That's what I mean. Yeah. That's what I mean. It's just like, dude, they win by 20 seconds every week, bare minimum.
And it's nuts, too, because Fernando Alonso, who finished third in that race last year, started second. Max finished second, started 15th.
Right. It's crazy. I don't know what they're doing that these other teams aren't. I honestly don't.
Me either. And I like it, though, when he has an issue at the qualifying, because then you can get a better price. You can get, like, almost even money sometimes on him. And if he's 15 spots out, I mean, it doesn't matter. Because, honestly, 10 of the guys aren't even going to be difficult for him to pass. So, basically, he has 5 semi-challenges at the most to get to the lead. That's the way I look at it. I don't see any way he gets beat here. Who are some other teams that you're looking for something from this week?
I'm going back to the well, back to the Alpines.
Okay.
They were all right here last year.
Yes.
I don't know if I trust Oscar Piastri. I don't know if I trust anybody on McLaren.
I was going to ask you about McLaren because I was contemplating and thinking that maybe they were worth a double top six bet here this week because I thought they were a little bit better than – they outperformed what people were saying about them last week, if you want to call it that. So I thought maybe, but then again, I don't know. And then I don't know what Mercedes, where their heads are going to be. I don't know what Lewis Hamilton's season is even going to be like.
I don't either. It seems to me like Russell's the guy.
Right.
And they're just – they would prefer Hamilton probably be gone. to be honest. That's what I think.
You just leave now.
Right. This. Honestly, it's doing him no good. What's the point of him still sticking around?
He's a lame
duck.
Yeah, they don't really care. He's not going to get the number one treatment now because obviously George is the number one guy now and is going to continue to be. But, I don't know. I'm worried about Fernando Alonso, too. I'm worried that Aston Martin's kind of hit the wall. I think they kind of peaked last year, and now they just come back down to the gutter. What about the two Ferraris?
I think they'll be good. I think the Ferraris will be good. I think it's going to be an odd year for Sainz. I think he'll probably have his best year before he goes.
Yeah.
That's typically how those things kind of work.
Yep. All right. Well.
But like Bottas and all these, I mean, what are these guys going to do?
I mean, it's honestly sad that they're even out there. I mean, you see what happens at the beginnings of these races sometimes, and these guys, you know, we got wing damage on the first lap, and these bums are coming in, and just, I don't know. And then it's like a trade-off each week of between Kevin Magnussen and Hulkenberg, or who's going to have a mistake or a crash on the first lap.
That's it.
I don't know. And I actually do think, I'm hopeful that Daniel Ricciardo can bounce back a little bit, but... we'll see. I don't know. It's going to be tricky. It's really everybody's just racing for second out there, but we shall see. Anything else stick out on the F1 side?
Not, honestly, just total dominance from one team.
Yeah.
It's gotten worse.
It is. You thought they might be narrowing the gap. They're not. They're not at all. Oh, boy. But let's go on to something that has a little bit more of an even playing field here as we head to the IndyCar circuit. St. Petersburg, the opener. For the IndyCar guys, it was an incredibly good year for Alex Palou last year. Takes home the title. But I got a sneaking suspicion that your boy Scott McLaughlin is going to have a shot of winning it this year. What are your opening thoughts on that?
My opening thoughts on that are I do agree in that this is the toughest pick out of all of the racing circuits. I mean, this is wide open. There's probably five people you could pick, and you'd have a good chance of making some money.
Let me ask you about a couple of these. So, big news. AJ Foyt Racing gets Stingray Robb in the car now. I know that's really exciting.
Dude, anything I see with Stingray Robb, it brings me, honestly, a big smile to my face.
It does. That's just an incredible racing name.
It's one of the best I've ever heard.
No question about it. Andretti, they get Marcus Ericsson from Chip Ganassi. That's going to be interesting. Colton Herta, Kyle Kirkwood. Kyle Kirkwood was actually pretty good last year. Do you expect him to take a step upward?
Yeah, I actually have Kirkwood as a sleeper for this race. I think he could easily be in the top 10. I think getting with a good team like that can do you wonders for your career, man.
Yes, and then a team that's kind of leveled off a little bit, the McLaren team, Arrow McLaren. Pato O'Ward, not as good a year last year. He finished second here, which I kind of like him a little bit in this race. Alexander Rossi didn't do a ton last year, and then they got the new guy coming in from the Dale Coyne Racing. I don't even know how you say his name, David Malakas. But So I don't know what to expect from that McLaren team. What are your thoughts?
I actually have I like O'Ward and I like Rossi a lot in this race. I just think it's fresh. I feel like when the season first starts, you know, you make your first impressions and then you really just sort of settle in, and you know, Rossi tends to go down to where he is. But I think O'Ward, he just got a big contract extension and he's always been up there in the top five.
Yeah,
running very hard. They need to make that next step like they do in Formula One, honestly.
Yeah, no question about it. And I think it's really interesting of how, of all the teams, the best team, obviously, with the Team Penske, and everything's the same. They got the same guys in the same spots, the same cars, no changes, Newgarden, Willpower, and Scott McLaughlin. I mean, that to me just tells you how stable the Penske racing is across all of the racing platforms.
Yeah. I mean, dude, they do not mess around.
No.
They really don't, especially when it comes to IndyCar.
Yes. I mean, they're going to be very, very formidable again. I think they're going to be right in the mix to win the championship. Chip Ganassi obviously has Palou back, Scott Dixon. What are your thoughts on Chip Ganassi this year?
I love Ganassi. Pittsburgh guy. Guy just is pure racing at heart. I don't want to say that Ganassi needs to win at all, but dude, this whole lineup is so tough. You know, I just look at all these names and like to just pick an overall winner. And
right,
Matt, there's seriously, like I said, there's probably seven people on here that could take this whole title as opposed to like two in the other circuits.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. This is wide open. I think you have some guys that are emerging and coming onto the scene with some really good talent. You have some older guard that's still hanging around, and then you got some of these guys that are absolutely in their prime. What do you expect from a guy like a Marcus Ericsson who makes the switch this year? I mean, he was a guy I thought last year was going to be a title contender. It didn't quite turn out that way, but I would look for him to kind of take a little bit of a bounce back this year. What do you think?
Yeah, I hope that he made the right move in switching teams. I hope that a lot of his performance wasn't car-based.
Right.
It was based on his talent. So right. I think that'll just be the big outlier of, did this guy make the right move and leaving the Husky chocolate number 8 for new greener pastures?
Yes, absolutely. What do you make of Felix Rosenquist?
Oh, he needs a good year. He's done. You know, they could ship his ass out. They have, what, four drivers for Aaron McLaren?
Yeah.
Yes. Well, that's a lot. That's a lot of cards to field. But if you're not getting in the top 10 with McLaren, what's the point?
Yeah, exactly. No, I'm
four cars is a lot.
Disappointing. Our boy Renus VK hanging onto his seat for Ed Carpenter. Always like him on the oval tracks, but the street courses, he's just not really a contender. But all right, so let's get down to it. St. Petersburg Grand Prix here, week number 1. Ericsson, the defending champ. Pato O'Ward led 23 laps last year. You had Scott McLaughlin led 38 laps last year, and Roman Grosjean led 31 and actually crashed in the race. Actually was a contender. Yeah, I know. Stingray Robb, of course, was off the course late in the race as well. So where are you going with your winner?
Scott Dixon.
Okay. Oh, all right. The old reliable Scotty Dixon.
He's always up there. I didn't bring his name up one time. They haven't been saying too much about him.
That's what he likes, probably. Just forget about him. Don't say anything about him. I like that pick a lot. I'm going to go with Pato O'Ward. He was my initial pick. I'm still a little bit worried about him. I'm expecting him to have a bounce back season. But nothing wrong with Scott Dixon. That guy is as good as it gets, and he's still got something left in the tank, I would imagine.
Yeah. Is Takuma Sato in this race?
So Takuma Sato, from what I've seen, is I'm trying to see where I read something about him, and I made
just ovals.
Note. Yeah, he's not even Chip Ganassi hasn't even put him in that limited role yet. So he doesn't have a contract with anybody right now. They were talking about that Ganassi was going to bring him on for the ovals again, but they haven't confirmed that yet. So
he's a name that I went through over the numbers that, like, if he were in this, a top 10 for him wouldn't be.
Yeah. No, I mean, that guy's still, got a lot of experience. I mean, I don't know. What do you think of a guy like Graham Rahal? You think he's got anything left?
I mean, he's got the last name.
Yeah, that's about all he's got.
Cendric.
Yeah,
you know? He's
right.
Like a Cendric.
What about this young Fittipaldi, the Pietro Fittipaldi? I don't know much about him, but apparently he's talented.
Yeah, I actually have the three sleepers for this. I have Marcus Armstrong, Christian Lundgaard, and like we said, Kyle Kirkwood. I think those young guys, they're on good teams. I just think they've got a good knack for getting to the front of the pack. They've been there. But like I said, this field is so talented that it's way tougher than the other circuits. But those three are my three standouts for, like, we need to keep our eyes on these guys.
Okay, I like it. Armstrong, Lundgaard, and Kirkwood as some potential sleepers here for the Firestone Grand Prix of St. Petersburg. All right, Sam, any other thoughts, anything we missed on across the racing circuits? Pretty comprehensive breakdown, I'd say.
No, I'm happy that, like I texted you the other day, it's just like that, Matt. We had no racing.
Right.
And now we got all three circuits. They're back up. Our weekends are full.
Now we're overloaded with it. And then I'm really excited, too, because tonight begins Aussie Rules Football begins.
Oh,
so
yeah?
I'll be checking that out in the mornings now when I'm waking up at 4 and 5 in the morning, popping on Fox Sports and watching some guys smashing heads out there. So looking forward to that, too.
I'm a big fan of, like, when they bring the sand out.
Yeah.
Bring the sand out, make it all perfect. I love that. I love that.
Yes, good stuff. All right, Sam, thanks as always for your incredible insight and contributions to the show. Go Bucks, and we'll see you next week, buddy.
Yeah, man. Go Bucks. Go Pistons. Matt,
talk to you. All right, Sammy. That's Sammy the man from Upper St. Clair. Great insight and analysis, as always, as he brings it to the table every week for us from the racing circuits and across the other various sports. That's going to do it for us here on Bettor's Last Stand, show number 77, presented by our friends at IC Cab, Zambito Flooring America, Four Seasons Golf, Figueredi's, Generations, who else am I forgetting? Oh, Gumby's and Jill's Gentleman's Club, and our friends at the Watchdog as well, Wheeling Nailers, all partners of the Pine Room. We're pleased to be involved with all of them, and thanks to everybody for their continued support. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Shoot us a text. You can shoot us a text on the PRP text line. You can shoot us an email. You can shoot us a message on X or Twitter, whenever you feel anything that comes to mind, anything you want to hear us talk about more or less, we'll be happy to indulge. So until next week, have a wonderful time. Get on out to the Mountain East Tournament and enjoy some basketball. And we're getting down to a fun part of the spring. It's Bettor's Last Stand, show 77 from the Pine Room Studios in Wheeling. We will see you next week. All right, welcome in. Bettor's Last Stand, back after a Thanksgiving hiatus. Last time we were seen over at Belmont Brew Works, had our buddy Rick on the show. He had us over. It was a great evening. We talked a lot about sports betting on the show as always, and then had a few drinks and something to eat. So it was a good time. Chris here with me in the studio.
Hello.